reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and with the 33rd verse. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist, Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach, and I've been taking it very seriously ever since. Oh, I've had a lot of opposition down through the years, and I've been snubbed by even my own denomination. But I'll tell you one thing, I haven't been snubbed by the Lord. Have I always done what God asked me to do? Unfortunately, I haven't. But I'm trying. The Bible said that we are to press toward our perfection. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or maybe a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and let's begin reading with the 5th verse. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My sons, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and life? Our Father's discipline is for a little while, as they thought best, but God's discipline us for our good, excuse me, and we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. The name of this message is The Lord Trains His Children. Now, chastening frightens many. Oh, yes, it does. And it brings vision of a sword ready to fall. The word means child training. Now, listen. The family of God, being born again, brings us into God's family. Our loving Father, now listen to this, our loving Father is not an executioner, but he does chasten all of us for our own good. Well, who chastens God? Verse 5 and 6, it says, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that dresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone who accept his son. Well, the Lord chastens who? Those he loves. And he chastens his dear children. Listen, lost people are not chastened. Lost people face judgment in hell, but some believers God chastened in the past. God chastened Jonah. for disobedience. That rascal. When God called him to go down to Nineveh, what did he do? He got on a ship and went exactly the other way. Why? Because he didn't like those people in Nineveh. He just didn't like them, and he didn't want them to repent. Well, he got on a ship, and you know the rest. They threw that guy off on the brink, and big old fish swallowed him up, and for 3 days and three nights, he spent an awful hard time. Guy can just, oh, those fish heads and seaweed and you name it wrapped around his throat. But I'll tell you right now, the 3 days that Jonah was in there, he began to think, maybe God is right. Maybe I should be going down there. So that old fish spit that old backslidden preacher off on the beach, and he took off for Nineveh like a herd of turtles. And when he got there, he couldn't get that message out quick enough. Because, and what happened? Those people took him serious. And they repented. And, oh, it ticked him off. He didn't want them to repent, but they did. God was teaching Jonah a lesson. Now, God chastens David for his sin with Bathsheba. And God chastens Israel for their unbelief. Listen, friends. Listen to me very carefully. You cannot sin and win. Put that down in your Bible, put it up on your bathroom wall, put it somewhere. We cannot sin and win. Christians cannot sin and get away with it. You think you get away with it, but you will not. You cannot hide from God. Oh, my stars. People believe they can. Oh, but friends, God sees those things. And you know what? You know why he chastens us? Because he loves us. He knows what you're doing tonight is wrong. But he wants to correct you so that you won't do the wrong things. Hey, listen, none of us are perfect on this earth. The Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody on this earth has sinned because of our forefathers, Adam and Eve. Well, the Bible said, why does God chasten? Verse 7 and 8 tells us, endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are an illegitimate child and not true sons of God. Now hear that? If you're not being chastened once in a while, buddy boy, you're not one of his. Now chastening is an evidence of being a child of God. No chastening can mean we are not saved. Verse 8, it says, if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes this discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Now, earthly fathers chasten their children. My friends, my daddy used to shave with a straight-edge razor. And he had a big old razor strap there in the bedroom, or in the bathroom. And he honed, I tell you, that old razor was as sharp as you can be. And there's times that my dad took that razor strap across my little backside. But you know what? I can truthfully say my dad or my mother never did spank me without a cause. I did something that brought it on. No, they never beat me. Now, today, if you spank a child with a razor strap, you can go to jail. Oh, yes, you can. Well, they're not following the Bible, of course. Well, earthly fathers chasten their children, but they do not chasten the children of others. Now, chastening is a privilege reserved for God's children. Now, other benefits are of being a child of God. We are part of God's family. And the Bible said we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Oh, my. And you know what? We have dual citizenship. We have citizenship here, but we also have citizenship in heaven. I read in Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's something else I want to bring up about that. We who are children of God have everlasting life. I read in John 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death unto life. Otherwise, they've been born again. And says 1 John 5:13, this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. Now, when you pass in death unto life, you have been born again, and you are a child of the King. God is training us for fruitful service for Him. Oh, friends, listen, if He didn't do that, what a mess we would be. Now, the results and reactions of God's chastening we find in verse 9. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and life? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplined us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. You know what? When people are chastened, other Christians say, boy, he sure did something, or she sure done something that she shouldn't. What's the reactions? We may not like it. Oh, no, we don't like it. We may find it temporarily painful. Hey, friends, was it 2 months ago? There, a month ago, I was at the hospital 4 times. And I mean, I was one sick little badger. I mean, I couldn't breathe. I put my oxygen as high as it would go, but I couldn't breathe. You talk about pray. You talk about beg God for help. And when I was in a terrible automobile accident many years ago, my wife and I and kids, I was in the hospital for months. I went through all kinds of stuff trying to make me well. Oh, it was painful, boy, but I haven't forgot it. And it's so good to be able to breathe. I got my meter on 1 right now, and that's as low as you can get. But I'm able to breathe, and how thankful I am for the air. Now, if you've ever had asthma or you've had these diseases with your lungs, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We should remember chastening is for our good, not to make us mad, not to, you know, have us turn on God, but to make us love Him and do more what He wants us to do. Well, here's the results. We become partakers of God's holiness. Boy, I don't completely understand that, kiddo. I don't completely understand that, but it's true. We experience a peaceful fruit of righteousness. These benefits come to those who learn from chastening. Now, some people, when they're chastened, they get hard. Their hard hearts get hard. But it should be tender, our hearts. Oh, yes, we should. Hey, friends, you know what? The morning I was saved, when I got on my knees, I told the Lord, if you're up there, here I am. Here's my heart. I'm so sorry for my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Now, I experienced something I had never experienced before in my life. Peace flooded my soul. I'd never in my life experienced the cleanliness that I felt that morning as I was on my knees. Now, when I got up off my knees, I still felt so great. And as I walked outside, the pastor walked out with me. And the sun was just coming up over Boeing Field. We lived a little ways from Boeing Field. What a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful morning. And it seemed like God said, well, Cecil, you've been through a living hell for 30 years. I'm just going to bless your socks off. And he said, ever, Robin, of course, I might be exaggerating, but it seemed to me like he sent ever, Robin, in Seattle, Washington, to sing in those trees. And I said, preacher, look at that sunrise. Listen to those birds. And then he said, Cecil, I can explain that. I said, please do. He said, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become as new. Boy, that's what they, you know, a little baby when he's born, he don't know nothing when he's born. But I tell you, they get him a crying the minute he gets out. And they clean him up and they're nothing. Oh, precious friends, there's nothing any more beautiful than a little baby. Innocent little baby. And well, you know, God wants us to be innocent, but he doesn't want us to stay babies. He wants us to start growing. You can't grow apart from the Word of God. Get in a good Sunday school. Learn all you can. Get baptized as an act of obedience, not for salvation, but an act of obedience. Start studying the Bible and get into a good Sunday school. I'll guarantee you, the first 6 months of my life, I thought I died and went to heaven. Boy, howdy, I couldn't get out of that book. I couldn't wait for Sunday school. I couldn't wait for training union. It was such a joy. And through training union, God helped me overcome a lot of my timidity. Now, you would think an old drunk wouldn't be timid, but I was. I was recluse. I didn't want to be around anybody because I was so ashamed of my alcohol. Oh, yes, I was. And you know, when people would, my family would come to see me, you know what I'd do? I'd go hide. I'd go in my bedroom. I didn't want them to see me because I was ashamed of my sin. Well, but now, you say, well, what happened after you got saved? Well, the first thing I did, I went to start going to church, bought me a Bible, and boy, howdy, I'd study that Bible. I'd call my pastor, I'd call the deacons, I'd call my Sunday school teacher. What does this mean? What does this mean? What? I wanted to know. But all the time that I was studying the Bible, I was experiencing love that I'd never had before. I didn't know what love was. But boy, after you meet a bunch of good Christians, there's nothing. I tell you, my throat's bad. I called Millie's pastor, not too long ago, well, but quite a while ago. Checked him out. Asked him what he believed. And he told me. And I responded by giving Millie a buzz, and I told her what I found out. And she went and joined that church, and she's been happy ever since. You see, if the gospel is proclaimed in truth, you'll learn and you'll be happy. Now you say, well, but Cecil, my church, my pastor, yeah. Look it. If your pastor isn't doing the right thing, pray for him. Pray for him anyway, but pray for him. And if you haven't had a revival in your church in a long time, you pray for a revival. Search your heart. Confess your sins. Turn from your sin and come and start walking with Jesus. Boy, howdy, it makes God so proud when his children talk to him. You know, he made humans so he could have fellowship with them. God wanted a family. And you know what? The thing that always touched my heart, he gave up his most precious, treasured son in heaven, a perfect son. Gave him up to come to heaven, to come to earth, to seek and to save that which is lost, which was you and me. And that night in Seattle, 3 o'clock in the morning, when I went to that preacher's home, the Lord led me there. The Lord led me to a preacher that cared for sinners. He didn't jump on me for my drinking. He didn't tell me all the sinful things about drinking. He kept talking to me about the love of God. Oh, listen, I'm going to ask you, have you ever experienced God's chastening? Well, let me ask you, did you learn from it? Did you learn what it meant? Or did you just get mad and pout? Well, that's wrong. Have you profited from it? And can you thank God for it? Boy, howdy, I can. Let me tell you something else. This will shock some of you. I thank God that I was an alcoholic. Oh, I don't thank God for the terrible things I did. But had I not found Christ, I would have never found Christ. I had to hit the bottom. Not everybody has to go at the bottom, but this kid did. And when I got to the bottom, the only place I had to go was look up. And he kept telling me how much God loved me. For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's what troubled me, my friends. God took my sister by death. He took my mother by death. And I was raised by the meanest stepmother God ever put on this earth. Beat me and abused me and all these things for years. And then my dad died. I got out of the Navy. I had no place to go. I had no home. I was a scared little kid, 21 years old. I went in when I was 17. But boy, then when I found Jesus, I found everything I've ever wanted in life. Everything I've ever wanted is in Jesus. That's what Paul was talking about. Boy, he loved the Lord, and he took a whooping for it. In fact, he lost his head over it. In prison, they chopped his head right off. Oh, yes, John the Baptist, his head was chopped off. Christian friends, we're in for some more problems now. All this corruption in our government, and boy, it is corrupt. We have czars that are communists, been in the penitentiary. We have people with the black, what do they call them? Anyway. And we're going to be facing a lot of trouble. We got to stand up for what we believe. Don't throw your hands down. Stand up. You say, but I'm just a weak-kneed little old gal, or I'm a weak-kneed guy. Well, get some strength in your... Turn to Jesus and ask him for holy boldness. Ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit and lead you by his Holy Spirit and give you souls for your hire. Now, don't let your chastening be in vain. And here's what I'm asking you to do. Get back to serving God again. Verse 13, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. Yes, the Lord trains his children, and has he been training on you? And then you ask him for grace. Thank him for saving you. Thank him for calling you. And every born-again believer, listen, friends, God will chasten the dickens out of you if you're born again and you're not doing nothing but just going to church, because I'll guarantee you that's not what he called you to do. Every Christian, I don't care how insignificant you might think you are. Friends, listen, I was insignificant. I absolutely was stupid when I got saved. Didn't know nothing. But God has used me. No, I don't brag about what he's done, but I thank him. Hey, I wanted to go preach, and I'm not a beggar. I won't ask for money. Well, then what are you going to do? God supplied me a roofing business that let me go around the world and preach the gospel and make an hour and a half movie and print books. I give away thousands of dollars worth of books and films over the years because I love him and because I'm thankful for that day, April the 15th, 1955. Friends, let me ask you this. You say, Cecil, look, I really don't know what you're talking about. I'm not a child of the king, so I guess he's not going to chasten me. No, he won't chasten you. But I'll tell you one thing. He wants to save you. You say, Cecil, I'm not such a bad guy. I don't say you are either. You say, I'm not such a bad woman. I doubt if you are. But friends, we get to heaven because we trust Jesus. Not being good or bad, that's not the important thing. I can read in the scriptures where good people went to hell and bad people went to heaven.
Sure can.
Well, listen, if you don't know Jesus and you have a tugging at your heart, would you bow your head to me right now? Please don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. But if you want a new life, here's what you have to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the very precious name of Jesus, I thank you for what your Son did on the cross at Calvary. I confess, Lord, that I am a sinner, and I'm repenting. I'm turning my back to the old way of life and coming to you, Jesus. Come into my heart and save me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. You call 303-471-8534. I won't use name on the air. I won't sit down, write, and ask you for any money. I won't embarrass you. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Won't you give me a call? You say, I can't afford to call. Call collect. Now I'll take up the charge. Come on, let's come to Jesus tonight. This might be the very last time that God will ever speak to your heart. I'm serious. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. For the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, I hope and pray I said something that would bless your heart or encourage you if you're going through some chastening right now. God loves you. Oh, just lean on him. Talk to him. Tell him what your needs are. Tell him how you feel. He wants to know because you're his son or you're his daughter. That's why. That's why we pray. He wants to fellowship with us. Well, friends, would you pray for my health and my wife's health, and please pray for our prison ministry. Oh, we enjoy that. We see many, many, many souls saved every month. Sometimes as high as 30, 40, maybe 50. Oh, how we rejoice. Now, when I was pastoring a church, I never saw that. So that's why pastors get discouraged when they don't see people saved. Work hard. Pray hard. Pray for your pastor. Pray for me and my wife, would you? Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.